Let us hear God's word tonight. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Tonight we're going to particularly notice verse 31 and verse 34. And so we'll read those words again. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And then verse 34, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Dear congregation, our Lord said to his troubled disciples in the upper room, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And what words of comfort and words of truth were uttered by our Lord. He directed his disciples to consider heaven and the mansions in that place, and that he was going to that place. He would go there to prepare that place, but then one day he would come again. I will come again. He desired them to look up and take comfort. And so tonight we're to look up, and we who love the Lord take comfort in those words. And we're to take comfort that the Lord said, I will come again. Plainly he came the first time. And we know he came in order to save. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came. The apostle speaks of himself, that is Paul, I am chief. He saw himself as the chief of sinners. He had done so much wrong. He was so thankful that the Lord came into the world to save him. And can I ask you tonight, are you so thankful at the beginning of this week that the Lord came into the world to save you? Well, he came and he accomplished redemption. He presented himself in perfect conformity to the law. He kept the law perfectly, as we considered this morning in Psalm 40. And then he suffered the penalty for the broken law. He suffered and died on the cross. You remember again those words, in view of the finished work, he cried on the cross, It is finished. For having accomplished redemption, on the third day he arose victoriously from the grave. Death could not keep him. After 40 days he ascended up into heaven. And what singing was heard at his ascension, as we shall consider the Lord willing next Lord's evening. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He came in. Following his ascension, he sat down on the throne in heaven above. In Hebrews 1 and verse 3 we read, Who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And there he is tonight. So we thought that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended, he sat down, and there he is tonight in the glory. What a wonderful thought. In the Father's house is the blessed King. But one day, at the appointed time, he will come again. dear congregation, one day Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will return. And can I ask you right at the outset tonight, as we come to these words and we notice his glorious return, and then secondly, his gracious sentence, well, as we think of these things, are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Well, as we come to these verses tonight, I'd like us to consider two things. First of all, the King's glorious return, and then secondly, the King's gracious sentence. The King's glorious return, verse 31, and then verse 34, the King's gracious sentence. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Well, let's consider first of all tonight, as we come to verse 31, those simple words, shall come. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now, many acknowledge that our Lord came the first time. Many have what we call an historic faith. What is that, young ones? What is that? And older ones, what is an historic faith? Well, it's this, a bare assent to the truth made known in the Word. They believe certain things about our Lord, such as his birth at Bethlehem, his early years in Nazareth. Many believe that he went about doing good. Many believe that he died on the cross. There is this historic faith. They believe certain things that are made known in the Bible. Many today would have gathered in churches and chapels, and they believe certain things, but they do not have saving faith. Now, as we consider that group, though they believe in certain things that have taken place, such as the birth of Christ, his life, his death, not so many in that group believe he is coming again. They look back and say, well, yes, that did happen. He was born in Bethlehem. He died at Jerusalem. Yes, those things did happen. But they do not look forward so often and consider that he is coming. And then consider all mankind. When we consider all mankind, the majority do not believe he is coming again. But what did our Lord say? John 14 verse 3. I will come again. Many will look back. He came. Many will give lip service to that this week. That he came. But so many will not consider what he said. I will come again. That he is going to return. I will come again. Now consider the Lord Jesus. He is the truth. And he speaks the truth. 1 Peter 2 verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. No guile, no deceit. Every word he spake was true. Every word of warning was true. Every word of rebuke. Every word of comfort. Every word of instruction. Oh, listen then to Jesus. He spake the truth. Are you listening? We who love the Lord, we need to keep examining ourselves as we read the Word of God and we hear the truth. Are we listening to the truth? Are we seeking to apply what we have heard? Do we listen? Are we found often at the feet of Jesus as we come to the Word of God and we hear the Word? Are you listening? He said, I will come again. As a child, so often I did not listen. I remember at school, daydreaming in the lessons. My mind would wander. I used to think of home. And then when my grandparents lived in the forest. And then church, I used to think often of these things. Sat in the lessons. When suddenly I considered the teacher was speaking. I've said this often to myself. I hope the teacher doesn't ask me a question. Because I have no clue what he's been saying. Or she has been saying. I wasn't listening. Listening. I spent hours not listening. Are you listening tonight? Are you really listening? Are you really grasping it? The Lord is going to come again. What do we read here? When the Son of Man shall come. There's no question. He is coming. So firstly, these words. When the Son of Man shall come. The Lord makes it plain. There's no question here. He's coming. And one day you're going to see him. Well, let's consider secondly the Lord's personal return. Now, why do we say this? Because there are those who just think of the second coming as something spiritual. What do we read in verse 31? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. He will personally come. He who is God and he who is man. Reverend John Brown of Haddington writes, Christ's own personal appearance. We will see him, as we will note in a moment. In 1 John 3 verse 2 we read, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, you see there, his personal appearance, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You're going to see him whose name is Jesus. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? We're going to see him on that great day. We know certain ones who have left this world this night, they are seeing Jesus. But dear child of God, you have the prospect of seeing Jesus. At death you will see him with the eyes of your soul. And then on that great day, with eyes of flesh, you're going to see him. He's personally going to return. The Lord is coming. I will come again. And then leading on thirdly, he will visibly return. Revelation 1 verse 7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Every eye. That's an amazing truth, isn't it? Every eye, all who have ever lived, will see the Lord on that day. And you're going to see him. Dear young people here tonight, you're going to see the King. He will come in the clouds and every eye will see him. Every eye will be on the King. Every eye will be on the Judge. Notice verse 32 and verse 33, we see the separation in order that there might be a judgment. The eyes will be on the King and the eyes will be on the Judge. John 12 verse 48. They will see him. What a thought that is. And what a thought it is, dear brethren. Dear congregation, we are going to see the Lord. Fourthly, he will come in a glorious and mighty way. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. What a day it will be. We think here of his glorious appearing. What majesty will clothe him. What excellencies will shine forth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, such majesty around him, such excellencies will shine forth. It's his glorious appearing. Such an amazing sight it will be. Fisher writes, James Fisher, in a most splendid and glorious manner. His glorious appearing. And it will be in a mighty way. Matthew 24 verse 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Such power will be before him, such majesty will clothe him, and he will shine forth in his excellencies. Such power will be revealed at his return. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7, And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then one more text, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He will come in his glory, such majesty will clothe him, his excellencies will shine. He will come in the clouds, there will be fire. He will be attended by the angelic hosts. He will descend with a shout. There will be the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. The graves will be opened, and there will be great awe instilled into the hearts of men. What a day, what an appearance. All will know that he is coming, and all will see his coming, and all will bear witness to his power and to his might. All will hear the trumpet. All will hear the voice of the archangel. All will be silenced before the King. His glorious appearing. What a difference to his first coming. He was born in an obscure stable at Bethlehem, clothed in mean swaddling clothes, laid in a manger that had been assembled to feed the animals. What humiliation, but what exaltation when he comes. He will come in his glory. Such a awe will be known. All will be silent before him, before they cry out to the rocks to cover them. All will be aware of him. They will be conscious that he is King, the King of Kings. They will be conscious that he is the judge. But dear brethren, all will be well for you. For the King, for the judge, is your Redeemer who died for you. He died that all might be well for you on the day he returns. And remember this, he is also your friend. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so when you see him on that great day, you will be looking at the face of the judge, but the face of your friend who sticks so close to you. That's an amazing truth. We thought before that the believer is in union with Christ. And on that great day we will see him, and we will be in union with him. There will be that closeness with Christ as we see him coming and stand before him. All will be well. When you see the Son of Man come in his glory, when you see such majesty around Christ, when you see such power before him, you hear the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, you will know all will be well, because you will see your Saviour's face. You will see his love towards you. But if you're without Christ, I must lovingly tell you, you must be warned, for he is the judge. And he will sentence men to everlasting destruction, those who have not believed on him. What a day is coming. His glorious return. And it's still before us. What a hope that is. What a comfort. If you think of this world and the darkness, it will not last forever. He's coming again. When we think of the sorrow and the pain, it will not last forever. He is coming again. When we think of all those graves and all those graves out yonder, they're not eternal, because he's coming again and he will raise the bodies. Oh, what a comfort that is. The King is coming. Many this week will think of when he came, but will not consider that he is coming again. But he is. The King is coming. Now on the 4th of January 1642, news quickly spread concerning the arrival of King Charles I at the lower house, the House of Commons. And on that day, that ungodly king marched in with an armed guard to arrest 5 members of Parliament. The news spread. Dear congregation, let the news spread of a righteous king. The King of Kings, who is coming again to this world, this lower world. Oh, consider him tonight. The King of Kings will one day return. And what a hope that is, because we know what lays in store after that day for the believer. And no wonder we read at the end of the Bible, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And we read in the Song of Solomon, "Make haste, my beloved." How often do you say that to your closest friend, your chief friend? Are you longing for his coming? Over these last few days, I just long to get to the heavenly world. Are you longing to get there? Do you know Christ? Are you longing? Are you speaking to him often? "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Quickly end this age. Quickly come. Quickly say those words, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father.' Quickly lead me into the heavenly world. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Are you in anticipation? Do you long to be with him forever? Are you awaiting the arrival of the King? Many look back this week, and we can look back this week and every week of the year. And you know, we should look back every week of the year and rejoice in Christ who came. But we can look forward as well and rejoice. Are you looking back and are you looking forward to the return of the King? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, what a day it will be, and all will be well for my soul. Dear brethren, all will be well for your souls on that great day. Dear brethren, we are to be found waiting. You remember Simeon, he waited for the arrival of our Lord the first time, Luke 2, verse 25. He was so longing. And when he held the Lord in his arms, he said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." He knew that peace in his soul. Do you know that peace in your soul as you consider Christ tonight? And are you waiting for his return? Remember the testimony of the brethren of Thessalonica? 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, "For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." To wait for his Son. An activity of the Christian. Waiting. Holding out. Looking by faith. I remember many years ago on the 26th of December, as a little boy sat in the bedroom of the bungalow we used to live in, waiting, looking out at the window for hours for my grandparents to come. Because I knew when they came it was dinner time. And I was so hungry. I was so earnestly waiting. And the hours passed. I think I started waiting about 10 in the morning for dinner. Anticipation. How often do you seriously wait for Jesus? Ask yourself tonight. When did you last long? When were you found waiting? "I wait for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning," Psalm 130. Spurgeon says the Lord's people are always waiting. They waited for his first coming, and they're waiting for his second coming. Are you waiting for the Lord? Are you longing for him? Philippians 3 verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now we have this word in our English language, conversation. It's an old word. It speaks in this place. The Greek word speaks of a citizen of heaven. And the believer belongs to that place. We don't belong here, do we? Over these last few days, I've learned that afresh. And I've been looking to where I want to go. I don't belong to this place. This is a place of sorrow. This is a place of mourning. This is a place of death. This is a place where graves are dug. I belong to a place where there's no graves. I belong to a place where there's joy. We look for the Saviour. Our conversation with citizens of heaven. Do you belong to heaven? And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. There's an evidence that one belongs to heaven. They talk of the Lord. You know people in the world by what they talk of. You should know the Christian, that they are a citizen of heaven by the way they talk. We belong to heaven. We should be found often wanting to go there. We should be found often wanting to go home. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's far better, isn't it? And we should have that struggle often. Oh, I want to get home. I'm weary, I want to get home, but there's still work to be done. For our conversation is in heaven. That's where we belong, dear brethren. From whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for Him, for His glorious appearing, His glorious return. We're looking up, set your affection on things above. Oh, at the end, at the beginning of this week, set your affections on things above. Look up. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You may have days of holiday this week. Are you longing more to spend eternity with Jesus than days of holiday this week? Looking for His coming. Are you waiting for the King? Are you waiting for the one you so love and long to be with? So firstly tonight, the King's glorious return. But as we close tonight, secondly, the King's gracious sentence. Come with me to verse 34. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now on that day there will be the judgment, as we see in John 12 verse 48. All will be judged, all will be examined. And that's a solemn thing, isn't it? We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we need to remember that. Dear brethren, we are to so order our lives in view of the judgment. Now after the judgment comes the sentencing. You think in a law court, there's a judge, and one is brought before the judge, and they're examined. Then after the judge has considered, a time is given. And then there comes the sentencing. On that great day, the Lord will be judged, and after the judgment will come the sentencing. Now I firstly must be faithful and tell you of that awful sentence which will be pronounced upon the ungodly at that day. And our Lord made that known in verse 41. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. They rejected His gracious invitation. What is His gracious invitation? Well, it's the opposite to what we see in verse 41. We read there, depart from me, His gracious invitation is come unto me. You note that there, depart from me, the gracious invitation is come unto me. Yet those on that day who died in their sins will be told, depart from me. And I trust no one here will hear those words on that great day. If you're not a Christian, Jesus says to you tonight, come unto me and make sure you go. How could you ever live your life thinking He may say those other words? Go to Jesus. Now on that great day, those words will be so just when they are pronounced. Depart from me. His arms were stretched out in the gospel, yet they refused. Depart. Oh, consider those gracious words tonight. Come unto me. If you're without Christ, oh, that you would go and embrace the Son. Psalm 2 verse 12, kiss the Son, we're told, embrace Him by faith, embrace Him in love, go to Him, and if you do, you will not hear those words. And dear brethren, how blessed we are when we think of the great day to come, We're not going to hear those words, depart from me. We're going to hear these words in verse 34, come ye blessed of my Father. So we think of that solemn sentence, and what a solemn sentence it will be. Let me tell you this. Unbelievers will hate Christ when they hear those words again. But they will know they're true and why they have been spoken. How fearful for unbelievers. But let's turn to now this gracious sentence which will be said to the Lord's people. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come, blessed of my Father. What a gracious sentence. You know, when we go to verse 41, we think of the just sentence. When we come to this verse, the gracious sentence. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Now go back to the courtroom. Somebody's brought in, they've done something wrong. And then they're sentenced and they've got to face jail or something else. We're brought before the Lord. We've done something wrong. We've sinned against him. Yet the Lord's people will hear a gracious sentence. Come, ye blessed of my Father. A gracious sentence. A blessed sentence, as James Fisher puts it. Come, ye blessed. Now note these words as we close. Come, ye blessed of my Father, blessed by the Father, distinguished by favour, favoured by him. What a privilege, dear child of God, we've been distinguished by favour, chosen by grace, redeemed by his Son, justified, pardoned, so there's no condemnation, accepted, and so there's fellowship. We've been adopted in that gracious act, loved with an everlasting love, cared for in a most tender way. Blessed by the Father. Dear brethren, think of your Heavenly Father's dealings with you. Such care, such love. We've been distinguished by favour. Come ye blessed of my Father. Oh, what spiritual blessings have fallen like the snow gently upon the head of his people. He daily loadeth us with benefits. And every day of this week, I can testify this past week, benefits have come so quickly towards me. Blessed, distinguished by favour. Come ye blessed of my Father. What a blessing to be blessed by God, to be blessed by the Father. And if you're blessed by the Father tonight, you can look forward in anticipation to this gracious sentence. Oh, what blessings. You've been distinguished by favour. It's all of grace, isn't it? Blessed, says the Lord, and he will say it. You know, it's something striking, isn't it? What a comfort, dear brethren. To know the sentence before the judgment. That doesn't happen on earth, does it? The judgment comes, and then there's the sentence. But we know the sentence already. Oh, what grace. Blessed. And the Lord on that day will say, come ye blessed of my Father. We'll look back to a life of blessing. And then we'll consider blessings then and blessings to come. Blessings throughout all eternity in the heavenly world when heaven and earth will be one. What blessings, what happiness awaits in the kingdom. We'll be looking back and testifying of God's grace, rejoicing in Christ and looking forward. Come ye blessed of my Father. Oh, what blessings, what happiness will await. Now notice these words. Then shall the king say unto them in his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now notice there is the inheritance, but did you notice first of all the Lord speaks of the Father's blessing? It's all of grace, isn't it? Because of the Father's blessing, because of grace, there is the inheritance. Now we notice verse 35, and forward, for I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. And here the good works of believers will be made known. Now, these good works do not merit salvation. Good works are not the grounds of salvation. Good works are not the grounds of this blessed sentence. But they are the evidence that one is in union with Christ. The Lord will speak to those who are in union with him. Notice verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. See, doing it for the Lord. Their works will be made known on that day. But it's all of grace, isn't it? Note those words again in verse 34. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Here's a welcome. That's an amazing thing in this sentence, isn't there? Guilty we will be seen as on that day. But then these words come. Now there is here a wonderful welcome from Jesus in the Gospel. We've already mentioned it tonight. Come unto me. Matthew 11 verse 28. Bunyan once wrote on John 6 verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And the title of what he wrote is this: Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. That's the gospel, isn't it? Come and welcome, whoever you are, to Jesus Christ. And dear brethren, what a welcome we found. What a welcome we knew in Jesus. Well, on that great day, there will be another welcome. Come. What a gracious welcome. Those who went to Jesus by way of faith will hear another welcome on that great day. Come, ye blessed of my Father. It will be said with a royal majesty. He's the King. He's going to return in that glorious way, and the King will be before you, and with royal majesty and authority, and no one can undo his word. Come, ye blessed of my Father. With authority as the judge, he will say it. Come! It's a sentence, isn't it? But also in a gracious, loving, and tender way. The king will look you in the face. You've just gone through the judgment. The judge knows everything you've done. But he will look you in the face. Come. And you'll see such a welcome on his face. Such love in his eyes. Come, dear believer. He will be looking at you when he says come. He will look at all his people. He's so great, he will look at them all individually. And all the elect, all the Lord's people will all be gazing on his face. And they'll all be saying, he's looking at me. Come, ye blessed of my Father. And dear brethren, after the judgment is over, we will go in. He's going to invite us in. Come. And we will go in, notice verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, unbelievers. But the righteous into life eternal. And on that great day, the King will speak, come. And he will welcome you and me into the heavenly world. There's a lovely thought, isn't it? We see it in Acts 7. You remember when we thought of the death of Stephen there? He was given that vision to encourage him when he died. I see Jesus standing. And also to give him a foretaste of what he would see when he died. That is Jesus standing. And as we thought earlier tonight, the Lord sits on the throne in that spiritual way, in glory. Yes, there's a physical place. He is physically there. He also sits there in a spiritual way, but he stands, as we see in the account of Stephen, to welcome a believer home. And who's going to welcome us into the heavenly world? Jesus. He'll welcome us into the intermediate state, heaven. And then they welcome us into the heavenly world when heaven and earth will be one. A heavenly world. The King will welcome us there. Now we notice there these words, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's when it was prepared. These amazing things. Dear child of God, he thought of your eternal happiness before this world was made. And he hasn't stopped thinking of your eternal happiness. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He thought of you and you rejoicing and being so happy for all eternity before he created this world. Prepared. In grace it was prepared, it was planned, it was considered. In wisdom it was prepared so that it is every way suitable for eternal life after the resurrection and that great day. Prepared by God. And on that day to come, the King, the Lord, will welcome us in and he will be with us. The King's presence was known here upon earth. The King's presence will be known in that heavenly world to come. And what a place it will be. A real place. Heaven and earth one, heavenly world. We will walk with Jesus. We will sit down with Jesus. It's a real place where we will see the King in his glory. We will take note of his majesty for all eternity. We will take note of his excellencies for all eternity. What a wonderful place that we will so enjoy. What sights there will be. You sometimes go on holiday. Maybe it's down to the green hills of Devon. Lovely flowing hills. And the rugged coast. Lovely place, isn't it? Around Devon, maybe to Derbyshire with its sweeping dells, to Scotland with its majestic mountains and sweet glens. You may travel abroad and you go to America in the fall or the autumn time. You see the colours. What a lovely sight to see the colours on the Acer trees and other trees in America, in New England. You may go to other distant countries and see spectacular sights. But all those places will be surpassed when you arrive in the heavenly world to come. What sights we will behold in the heavenly world. And the King will bring us into that world. What a place there will be no storms. No famine, no suffering. There will be no accidents, no hospitals. No care homes, no nursing homes. There will be no dentists. And some of us will be so pleased. No pain, nor sorrow. There'll be no tears, there'll be no sin, no death. There'll be no mourning at gravesites. No flowers will be laid on graves. No gravestones will be erected in that world to come. I took great comfort last night as I thought of the graveyard. Those graves aren't eternal. Dear brethren, remember when your time comes, you're not going to an eternal grave. You're nearer to eternal heavenly world. There'll be no graves. What a world that will be. Not one grave in the heavenly world. Because there won't be one sin in the heavenly world. What a place. We'll look out on the horizon and no dark clouds of sorrow will come our way. And death will never creep over the horizon. What joys and pleasures will be known in Emmanuel's land. But most of all, God's gracious presence will be known. And we will behold the King in all his glory. And we shall forever be with him. Look to eternity tonight. We think of life, a few years, a few weeks. But what is that in compared to eternity? And we who love the Lord, we've only really begun in knowing Christ, an acquaintance with Him. What awaits us? At the beginning of this week, look up, dear brethren, and rejoice. That's what I desire you to do. Rejoice in the Lord, as we will consider on Tuesday. Always rejoice that your King is coming. Rejoice that you will be in that heavenly world forever and ever, forever with the King. And we'll soon forget our sorrowful days. And nothing will disturb the joy of Emmanuel's land. Get used to never crying again. You've only got to cry for a little longer. When you get to glory, there'll be no tears. When you get to the heavenly world, no tears, for all tears will be wiped away. And you're not going to wipe those tears away. When you wipe tears away, they keep coming back. God's going to wipe them away, so they never come back. Get ready for a time when you'll never weep again. In Emmanuel's land. Forever with the Lord. A gracious sentence. Come, ye blessed of my Father. The sentence will be pronounced and we will rejoice. We'll be so amazed, blessed. But I was a wretch. I did so much wrong. And the whole world has known about it now. Come, ye blessed of my Father. I tell you this, on that day, Christ again will have all the glory. Oh, the wicked. They will hear that sentence said to the Lord's people, come, they'll be so amazed. They were sinners like us, but they were saved. Come, ye blessed of my Father, and in we shall go, the sentence will be pronounced. And as the old writers put it, then the sentence will be executed. Verse 46, but the righteous into life eternal. What a wonderful day when the King will lead us in. Have you ever thought of that? Think of when you go to heaven, you'll be brought in, you'll see the King. And then on that great day, you'll be led into the heavenly world. Young ones, we can think of heaven as such a wonderful place after the great day. And you'll be brought in you will go. And it won't be long. When closing, we have considered the glorious return of the King and the gracious sentence, do you know this King? It's a sad country of England we live in. Much lip service is given over these days. Many have heard the word of God read, even today, but do not know the King. What a thought that is, to hear of Christ but not to know Him. Do you know Him? Is the King in your life? It's the glorious King in your life. Have you this testimony? Christ liveth in me. Have you gone to the King by way of faith, repented of your sins? Do you know the joy of what it is to dine with Christ? Those precious times of dining with Christ. If you do, a wonderful feast awaits you for all eternity. You will dine with Christ for all eternity. For only without Christ. Why are you refusing the King's invitation? I say tonight, refuse it no more. I want to see you all in heaven. That will bring me joy as a pastor. What a blessing to go to heaven. We know some have gone before, even this week. Are you going to see them? But most of all, are you going to see Christ when you die? Come to my all lovely King. And you will dine with Him for all eternity. What a wonderful day is coming. How privileged we are, dear brethren. We know we're going to hear those words, come ye blessed of my Father, and then forever with the Lord. To Brethren this week, look up and rejoice, for one day your King will come. Amen.